Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For cultivating progress across the South, for working to unconditionally improve the lives of all, and for the bold underwriting of every Gravy podcast, SFA thanks our visionary Louisville, Kentucky friends, Pam and Brooke Smith.
Come, yellow. Come, 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 come.
Raising beef cattle looms large in the American imagination.
And eating beef looms even larger in the American digestive system.
Ready for some beef facts? According to Agriculture Economic Insights, U.S. beef consumption has trended higher in recent years.
Ready for more?
Yes.
In 2022, beef consumption was the highest it's been since 2010.
Which seems impossible given the rise in plant-based meat alternatives. A response to our never-ending obsession with diet and the reality that mass production of American beef cattle contributes to both an unhealthy ecosystem and to climate change.
But what if there was a heritage southern cattle breed well-suited to the needs of regenerative farming?
A breed of cattle that could positively impact a farm's ecosystem instead of hurt it.
What if that breed could handle deep south heat?
Stephanie Burt takes us out to the rolling pastures of the South, where Piney Woods cattle graze.
You're listening to Gravy.
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 A production of the Southern Foodways Alliance, Gravy tells the stories of the changing American South.
Stephanie has the story.
I've been working in rare breed conservation for about 50 years, and my main interest is in those breeds that are uniquely American, and the Piney Woods fits that because it's been in the southeast of the United States for centuries.
That's Dr. Philip Sponnenberg, a professor of pathology and genetics in the Virginia Maryland College of Veterinary Medicine at Virginia Tech. He's the foremost veterinary expert on Piney Woods cattle and the one who registers cows officially for the Livestock Conservancy's Piney Woods breed count. I called him because I wanted to know about this breed that has particular characteristics that make it perfectly suited to the American South and that may just offer a more sustainable way of raising cows for beef. Piney Woods are one of the oldest breeds of cattle in the United States, descending from Spanish cattle brought to the Americas beginning in the early 1500s. And that long interaction with the hot, muggy, southern environment and the plant life that lives in it is what makes them special. But it also kept them smaller than today's typical beef cow.
In a difficult environment and a humid subtropical environment for cattle is a difficult environment, then they have to put metabolic resources into adaptation. And as a result, they tend to be a little bit on the smaller side, but that allows them to survive in the environment and be productive, whereas a larger animal is actually less well adapted to that environment. And that's especially true for hot environments and most especially for hot human environments. And that actually equates to parasite resistance.
So this old heritage southern breed can take the southern heat, which is very important in a region whose growing zones are skewing warmer.
They also use the nutritional environment, so they'll browse, they'll graze, they'll eat more of the things that are available than some of their cattle would.
That means you don't need to feed Piney Woods as much hay, which means you don't have to spend as much money on them. And that variance of diet also makes them hardy.
But one of the real secrets to their production success is their long life. So these will have, it's routine to have cows that are up in their late teens still calving annually. And that's really unusual for many, many other breeds of cattle. And so that long productive life actually provides a really, really useful role for the breed.
Right now, Dr. Sponnenberg estimates that there are between 700 and 1,000 head of registered Piney Woods cattle in existence, although not all Piney Woods ranchers and farmers choose to register their cattle. More on that later. Still, if this cow is so great for farmers, why aren't there more of them? It all comes down to the size, and size is king in the beef industry. Size determines which cows are processed for meat, where they go for processing, and which ones end up on our tables. I visited one of the largest herds of registered Piney Woods at BDA Farms in Uniontown, Alabama.
My name is Christian Steenkamp.
Christian, South African by birth, is the farm manager at BDA Farms, and those were his calls and whistles you heard at the top of the show. A few whistles was all it took to get 500 head of cattle, both Angus and Piney Woods, to move through a narrow fence opening to fresh grass on the farm's 3,000 grazable acres. The farm practices adaptive, multi-paddock grazing, which means cows graze in one fenced area of the farm while other fenced fields are left to regrow. He and his team say the Piney Woods really excel in this type of farming, a style that values soil health and biodiversity. It's a farming practice that's being studied to measure its ability to sequester carbon out of the atmosphere and counter some negative effects of climate change.
So Piney Woods is a very low maintenance animal. We also have a lot of farmland that is not very suited, that has more tree and wooded species. And the Piney Woods is very, very good at taking that lower quality forage and turn it into something productive. And that's why we enjoy having the Piney Woods and why we like to have the Piney Woods. They have a natural ability to handle what gets thrown at them in the south. They don't struggle with flies much, so we don't have to do anything for that. We don't have to treat for that.
And at BDA, there is a wide variety of plants because, unlike many conventional cattle farms, they choose not to spray pesticide to kill particular types of plants, plants that other farmers call weeds, but BDA sees as variety.
The Piney Woods like a more diverse buffet, if you want to put it that way, that they, or salad bar that they can pick from. And that's why the Piney Woods works really well. They can utilize stuff that normally would not be able to be utilized. And that's why the Piney Woods works so well, as they're almost like your garbage disposers, if I almost want to say that. Our cows that we have, Piney Woods, South Poles, and Angus, their palates has changed some as well, because they can observe the Piney Woods eating stuff that they were not used to necessarily eating in the beginning. You get to a point where the whole herd basically eats very similar things because they got exposed to it by seeing what the Piney Woods is eating.
So Piney Woods eat a varied diet, can take the heat, and are a good influence on the other cows. But none of these attributes matter in today's mainstream beef industry as much as size.
When we come back, we'll learn that for the beef industry, size is money. And we'll hear about the crossbreeding programs ranchers are using to make the Piney Wood commercially viable.
Gravy has some big news for Dolly Parton fans. Lodge Cast Iron has launched a new collection of Dolly Parton cast iron. Inspired by the one and only Tennessee icon, each of the four cookware pieces brings a bit of Dolly flair to your favorite Southern dishes. Just like Dolly, cast iron is made in Tennessee and loved all over the world. Made with just iron and oil, the naturally seasoned cooking surface on a Lodge pan is made to last for generations, so you'll never have to change your tune. Take home the new Lodge Cast Iron Dolly Parton collection and shop cookware born to perform at LodgeCastIron.com. For Lodge's longtime support of the Southern Foodways Alliance and this podcast, we thank them.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Georgia cattle farmer Will Harris of White Oak Pastures used Piney Woods and other breeds like it to find his ideal cattle stock because the realities of processing present a hurdle. By and large, the beef industry in the United States is standardized around large breeds such as Angus, he explains.
From an economic perspective, the bigger the animal is, the heavier the carcass weight is, the lower the cost per pound for processing. If a live animal out of a feedlot comes to the packing plant weighing 1,400 pounds, which is not unusual, and a piney woods, especially a grass-fed animal, comes in weighing 800 or 900 pounds, it costs just about as much to put the 1,400-pound animal through the process as it does the 800 or 900-pound animal. So the cost per pound is significantly higher. These plants, these really big beef plants, can process several hundred head per hour. And there's a great benefit to the packer if there's a lot of consistency in the cuts. If they're all just alike, it makes the marketing side of it go much smoother. So they really, from an economic perspective, discourage non-typical frame scores. And Piney Woods would fall into that category.
That's where crossbreeding comes in. Like Will, Christian and his team at BDA Farms have experimented with crossbreeding Piney Woods with more standard American beef cows. He says that he sees crossbreeding as a way to make the breed viable again.
But like South Poles and Angus, if you cross it, you can get the good trades of the Piney Woods, but also getting some bigger carcass, you know, just to give them more value.
With crossbreeding, Christian hopes to breed a bigger cow that can handle the Alabama environment, but will provide him more on the bottom line. For some southern small farmers, though, cows are more than just a beef bottom line. They are important players in small farm life and production. One such farm is Ozark Acres Regenerative Farm in Coleridge, North Carolina. Owners Sue Meyer and Mike Hansen are vocal advocates for small-scale farming that includes Piney Woods cattle, but also vocal advocates against the practice of branding cattle. Therefore, despite their love of the breed, they've chosen to skip official registration, which does require branding. That option, to opt out, is something that Dr. Sponenberg says happens for multiple reasons, from branding concerns to lack of motivation on the part of the farmer to the fact that there are multiple Piney Woods cattle associations and not everyone sees eye to eye. At Ozark Acres, an average herd of 15 or so unbranded Piney Woods graze 21 acres of pasture and 15 acres of forest set in the rolling hills of Randolph County. It was land that was farmed for generations before they acquired it. The climate is slightly cooler here than at BDA Farms in Alabama, but as the couple has transitioned the farm from growing hay to supporting a more diverse variety of grasses, Mike says the cattle have adapted to eat a variety of forages here too, including a
wide variety of different trees. One in particular is black walnut that has an antiparasitic in it, and they'll just, you know, find it when they need it and then have a little bite of leaf or branch, and it helps clear out their parasites so we don't have to medicate them.
For small farms like Ozark Acres, it's this varied diet that makes the Pineywood breeds a worthwhile partner. It's not just a breed to be tended to, but something akin to a bovine bushwhacker.
I think the biggest part that they contribute to, and again, this is because of their varied appetite, is maintaining the forest. So when we moved here, my wife Sue and I could not walk through the forest at all. It was completely packed with all types of invasive species. So now we're seeing, I'm 6'3" and I can walk through a lot of the forest standing upright. You know, we're seeing new biodiversity on the forest floor because of that.
As some look for alternatives to industrialized farming, Ozark Acres' work with the animals is a great example of using them beyond simply their beef production capabilities. Both BDA and Ozark Acres sell their beef direct to consumers, but the beef hasn't caught on in restaurants long term, and that's despite well-known chefs Sean Brock and Vivian Howard including it at various times on menus. One of the main reasons why Pineywood's beef is being left behind comes down once again to processing, the linchpin of the country's dominant beef production model. I've talked to many small-scale livestock farmers, and many cite the shortage of USDA-approved processors that are outside of the large industrialized model that Will describes. People have been raising Pineywoods for hundreds of years, but post-World War II, processing became centralized through the USDA. Little by little, processing a small cow or a small number of cows instead of hundreds at a time became much harder. Most of the folks raising this breed live hours from the nearest processor that can or will accommodate a difference in size from the industry standard. So, the queue for processing is very long. Because of that geographic distance and the lack of wholesale infrastructure, almost all farms who raise the breed, even relatively big operations like BDA, decide to come home with frozen product instead of fresh. And many restaurant chefs are only looking for fresh beef that's never seen a deep freezer. But get your hands on some Pineywoods beef, fresh or frozen, and the results are delicious. The sight of Pineywoods cattle in a field of wire grass was a familiar part of Scott Peacock's childhood in Alabama, but he never encountered the beef through his years cooking in Georgia at the governor's mansion, at his restaurant, The Watershed in Atlanta, while collaborating with Edna Lewis on a cookbook, or even at various events and gatherings across the country. It was only when he returned to his home state and began the Black Belt biscuit experience in Marion, Alabama, that he began cooking the beef in his home kitchen.
When it's treated and handled, you know, as it should be, it can be quite extraordinary and memorable. I think there's a depth to it. The Pineywoods, especially in relationship to the Black Belt of Alabama, is such an expression of the soil and this very unique prairie, that system that we have here. And I think all of that comes through. I don't think you have to be in the Black Belt to get that on some level. It's very present and it's very hardcore. You know, you're not just eating any meat. There are just aspects to it that emerge.
So here we are at that notion of terroir, a term most closely associated with wine, but which comes through in many of the food and beverages we consume. Pineywoods cattle have terroir, the taste of place.
Each animal is different, first of all, which is one of the issues that make a lot of people think that there's no hope for this cow, that it's not something to pursue, is because it is a less uniform animal. There is, in general, less marbling, but then there can be huge exceptions to that, like shockingly amazing exceptions to that. I think of it, honestly, as the difference between like old growth pine and modern pine that is farmed now. Like the graining is much tighter. There's more integrity to it. I think it is generally more beautiful. I will say that the braised cuts to me are the most successful right now, or that I enjoy and get the most from, much more than the prime cuts.
What if we looked to this beef as an opportunity to deepen our palate in the same way that revived ingredients such as Carolina Gold rice or Brandywine tomatoes have? The persistence of Piney Woods cattle not only illustrates its resilience, but it also invites us to see the new possibilities in the deep well of the past. And what it offers isn't part of past archaeology or future technology, but something that's been living alongside us in the South for hundreds of years, adapting to the natural offerings of the land and allowing us to eat well in the process. And according to Scott, we are just starting to see the potential.
But I think it needs a very talented butcher or two, someone who has the openness to see things differently and who has also the time and the space to give to what it takes to work this out, because it's not an easy math problem. It's not a factory animal. It defies a lot of conventional thinking and wisdom about modern beef production. It's not modern. It's not a modern animal, which is the beauty of it.
Stephanie Burt reported and produced this episode. A native North Carolinian, Stephanie received both her BA and MA in English from UNC Charlotte and was a former instructor of English and American Studies there as well. Her writing has taken her from the haunted halls of the old mountain mansions to the white beaches of the west coasts of Florida. But these days, all things culinary fill her plate. She is a full-time freelance writer for a variety of publications and the host of The Southern Fork, a podcast devoted to Southern culinary conversations.
We thank Wendell Patrick for Gravy's theme music. We also owe a huge thanks to Clay Jones and Broadcast Studios for recording and mixing Gravy. My co-host, Mary Beth Lassiter, is our publisher.
Managing editor for Gravy and all other SFA media is Sarah Camp Milam. Olivia Terenzio is our podcast editor, and fact-checking comes courtesy of Heather Cole.
Want to learn more about the changing American South? Visit us at southernfoodways.org. Read oral histories, watch films, or listen to this podcast. While you're there, become a member or make a donation. Your dollars fund our work and help us make more gravy. I'm Melissa Hall.
And I'm Mary Beth Lassiter. Are you excited to lap up another episode of Gravy, Melissa?
I am.
Tell a friend.
I will. And I'll pass the gravy boat because there's plenty to go around.
Gravy is proud to be a part of APT Podcast Studios.